Hello and welcome to episode 12 of A Bunch of Nuts. It's our Denzel Ward episode, and it's been an odd week, Big Cass, to say the least. But it is a rare Friday night episode because it's been one hectic week. How are you holding up?
I'm holding up pretty well, man. Jared Smiley of NBC4 out of here in Columbus asked everybody on Twitter or Facebook if anybody else is exhausted. As media professionals, as we're starting into our media profession, I'm exhausted, man. What a first year for both of us in the media, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's been definitely an emotionally draining past couple days, but I will say it's also been a kind of exciting time to cover this, and both of us are pretty hungry, I think, and we're doing two podcasts in a couple day span, so I mean, I think we're here, we're ready to ride this thing as long as it goes, and let's just get into the breaking news about Urban Meyer. So
yeah, before we get into breaking news, we've got a huge episode today. My mentor into this industry, part of EBSN Online in Columbus, Ohio, Jake Sofranco, coming on the program tonight. Great guy, program director over at EBSN, so we'll get into that later in the program.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have him on. He's going to have a ton of insight for us about the whole Urban Meyer, Zach Smith, Gene Smith now, I guess, is involved in this situation. Yeah, Shelly. It's going to be one heck of an episode. I'm psyched. But let's get into the breaking news, Big Cass, of Urban Meyer has finally released a statement. And it's a long one, to say the least.
Yeah, basically, it is a long one. And you can tell it took a lot of heart, very heartfelt. Shows the man cares. There was a lot of emotion into it.
I was at first considering reading the whole thing, but then I realized this isn't like English class of like sophomore year of high school where we go around reading like a novel. So I'm just going to read like probably the two most key paragraphs and probably the ending, which I thought was important. So he says, basically he explains, you know, whole situation, and he goes, here's the truth. While at the University of Florida and now at the Ohio State University, I have always followed proper reporting protocols and procedures when I have learned of an incident involving a student athlete, coach, or member of our staff by elevating the issues to the proper channels. And I did so regarding the Zach Smith incident in 2015. I take responsibility very seriously, and any suggestion to the contrary is simply false. The power of what I say and how I say it, especially regarding sensitive and serious domestic issues, has never been more evident than now. My words, whether in a reply to a reporter's question or in addressing a personal issue, must be clear, compassionate, and most of all, completely accurate. Unfortunately, at Big Ten Media Day on July 24th, I failed on many of these fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personnel issues with the media, and I apologize for the way I handled those questions.
Yeah, I right into there, very sincere. As that time, Zach Smith was being interviewed by ESPN. I don't remember the reporter's name, but I do remember watching it. After we can go more in detail with Zach Smith, what he said.
I actually have a clip if we want to play it.
Real quick before I do, my thoughts is it's very sincere, and you can probably agree, Dan, that it's sincere. Basically, it shows that, yeah, he did the proper protocol, which, hey, he did his job. And then it basically says, okay, I lied to the media.
Not a fireable offense, by the way. If that is his biggest crime, like we said last episode, that's nothing.
And didn't in the interview with Sage Steele on the 6 o'clock top of the hour primetime Sports Center on ESPN, the voice of college football game day, didn't Reese Smith say lying to the media is not a fireable offense?
He did. I mean, it's not. It's Like I said last episode, if Harbaugh can lie about who his quarterback or who he's playing week one, then Urban Meyer, I don't see what's wrong with him not fully disclosing everything that's happened, especially when it's, at this point, it seems more like a private matter between a man and a wife.
Yep.
But so then obviously Urban Meyer releases a statement, and he ends it too with, I ask that you continue to support the incredible coaches and student athletes in our program, and I look forward to rejoining them soon. So I'm not going to say it's a lock he's back, but it's looking a lot better than it did on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I told my father and my future wife, who both I love dearly, and they know my passion with Ohio State. Dan, we've been working together for 3 months now, and you know my passion for Ohio State. Urban Meyer, this team, as much as, you know, and you know, our good buddy Tennessee Jeff, who, if you guys have been following him, our good buddy, he's going to be on the program all season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, when Urban Meyer gets released, if and when, because I'm going to say when, because I think he's going to be back, I'll eat crow if I have to. If he's not, I will. To this day, what is it, August 3rd?
Yeah, August 3rd,
2018. At 9:15 p.m., I say Urban Meyer will be back. And when he is back, this team is going 15-0, because this team is going to be angry and going to be a prove a point that there is a lot of love in Buckeye Nation.
It just reminds me of that video that you sent me. It was honestly when we kind of first started. It was when Ohio State, you know, they missed out on the playoff, and the team basically said, screw it, we're going to go out and someone's going to have to pay. And this is exactly the mentality I think they're going to have this season, Big Cass. Someone's going to have to pay for this. Someone's going to get hit on the field. And I think worst case scenario at this point, I mean, I think – most of Buckeye Nation saw that message board on bucknuts.com with, I don't know how factual it was, but it was basically saying that Urban's looking at a 2-4 game suspension at worst. So let's play that he gets a 2-4 game suspension. He's back. One, he'll be back by Penn State, probably the biggest game of the year to that point. Two, they should win at least 3 of those games. Other than the TCU game. The TCU game is up in the air, but if we get him back by Penn State, I think we'll be all right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even if we lose the TCU, that's early in the season, just like Virginia Tech, and then we go and run the table in the Big Ten.
But, Big Cass, I have the recent interview with Zach Smith right here. I'm going to play about a 40-second clip of it, and it was probably the most important part of the interview because it shows – basically what Urban told him and that Gene Smith and everyone, it was reported to them. So I'm gonna play this part.
What did you say to Urban Meyer about the 2015 incident?
I told him when he asked me what the hell's going on, I told him, I said, Courtney's accusing me that I committed to domestic violence. I didn't. I don't know what's going on, but... I'm gonna go down and meet with the investigator and find out what the deal is. And after that, I told him, I said, they have some pictures of her. Anything that happened to her body was all just defensive movements to remove myself from the situation. And I said, and that's it. And I'm not gonna get charged because I didn't do anything wrong.
How did he respond to that?
He looked at me and said, I swear to God, Zach, if I find out you hit her, you're done. You're fired. I said, okay, I understand, Coach. I didn't. I'm fine.
And you told.
So, yeah, as you can see, apparently Urban Meyer did know, but he did tell Zach Smith, if you touched her, you're done.
And then I believe that Urban, because if you go down later in that interview, I believe Urban told Gene Smith, because in the interview, Zach Smith said Gene Smith pulled him off a recruiting trail and ask them about this allegation.
Absolutely. I mean, if you get – recruiting's huge in college football. If you get pulled off a recruiting trail, it has to be something serious because that is where coaches make their money, to believe it or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I just really, really found it interesting that I mean, Urban basically told him straight to his face, you're done if you touched her. So Urban clearly it matches up perfectly with Urban's statement today.
Yeah, absolutely. It did. It matches up. And I mean, now as that interview was going, Brett McMurphy, who released the story, came out and started releasing other text messages. Okay, Brett McMurphy, what you're releasing these other text messages, he basically admitted that he did put his hands on her. Yeah, maybe in his words, self-defense. But if you know, why are you just keep releasing text messages? You're just trying to beat around the bush some more.
I'm not here to defend Zach Smith. I don't think this is.
Oh, absolutely, not either.
But what I'm saying, I think what the evidence points to is the fact that Urban knew about it. He reported it. The police knew about it. Gene Smith knew about it. Everyone knew about it. But there's so much evidence that kind of it's conflicting. It's so hard to really get a true beat on what is happening because Zach Smith saying he didn't touch her. And she's saying he did, and there's pictures and this. So it's honestly, you got to allow due process at this point. It's mind-boggling. It's like crazy.
It definitely is. And I don't condone anything. Even if he did put his hands, it shows he did put his hands.
Yeah, no, he put his hands on her. He said, oh, even if I was getting out of the way, like you still shouldn't do that.
Right. What I'm looking at now is you're seeing a guy who got fired for what he did, Zach Smith. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a woman. I'm not saying that she's a, you know, I'm not saying that she's a, you know, who knows. But I'm not saying she's the total victim here. Zach Smith's not the victim, obviously. She realized, okay, I don't know. With what I read from family members, cousin of hers, what I read in this, also in the message board, where you know she called. Apparently, she called 66 times, 911 66 times in 90 days. She chased Jack Smith down in practice. We're basically what I'm looking at in my thought process, and people might think I'm crazy, and people think I'm wrong, but you're looking at two crazy people here that just need to be put down in their place, and they're taking it out on two great people who tried to help them.
Yeah, it's like everything with this between Courtney Smith and Zach Smith, it's just so wild, and I don't think, honestly, no matter how much investigating we're going to do, we're never going to figure out what truly happened between them, because I mean, people are saying horrible things about Zach Smith, saying he's condescending, saying he feels entitled because, you know, his grandpa's Earl Bruce. And then they're saying stuff about Courtney Smith, which I don't think we should be really pointing the finger at her because it's not her fault that we're not victim shamers here. Zach Smith is the reason this has all happened. There's no denying this. It's Zach Smith, but it's just the fact that there's a lot of inconsistencies and if the police knew about it and they couldn't even go after him, what does that show?
Exactly. It doesn't. I don't know. We're going to have to break this down. I think I'm going to go ahead and send Jake a text to see if he's ready and see what his thoughts are and see what's everything that's going on with the program and stuff. And
absolutely. While we wait for Jake, let's get into a lighter segment for a couple minutes. Let's do the Cardale Jones Tweet of the Week, Big Cass. So I'll start off with mine. I was going to originally use the Brett McMurphy one today, but I don't want to give that guy the time of day right now because he's like he just wants attention, I think, at this point. And this thing's kind of blowing up a little. I mean, I don't know with Brett McMurphy, but I'm going to give you one from it's at U of M Updates 247. So I'm pretty sure it's the 247 Sports U of M Twitter page. They tweeted, Nick Saban should be afraid of Jim Harbaugh. Nick failed in the NFL. Harbaugh didn't. Bold. That's a bold take, man. Like, I know. I mean, it's saying basically that Harbaugh was super successful. Yeah, he was good with the 49ers, but he never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, It was kind of funny. I mean, it's a funny take, everything. I love doing our Cardale Jones Tweets of the Week.
I look forward to it. Do you have anything, Big Cass?
I kind of do. It's what I sent you earlier, not too long ago, actually. It's from J-Book, and it talks about the media thought process. I'm just thinking, all it says right now is the media, but this is my mind what I think it's meaning. The media thought process in the last 72 hours. Check mark. Urban didn't answer our questions. I'm mad. And I'm using, and basically, guys, when I'm saying this, I am using G-rated words. check mark. He knew. I'm mad. Oh, man, I just lost it. Stupid phone. Okay, got it. check mark. It was reported to Gene Smith. I'm mad. Check mark. Police led the investigation. I'm mad. Check mark. No Ohio State football access. I'm mad. Check mark. Urban stays as Ohio State coach. I'm mad. Check mark. Independent investigation. I'm mad. Media process, thought process to this whole thing. Best tweet I've seen.
I mean, I will say this too, Big Cass. The mob mentality in this on the internet the past couple days is probably the worst I have ever seen it. I mean, I think in America, we've given worse people longer chances to kind of redeem themselves or at least prove their innocence than we did Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, in a process of 7-8 hours, was basically the internet, Twitter, Facebook, all these social media platforms. People were judge, jury, executioner. I mean, we took this guy to the gallows in a matter of 8 hours without really proving anything. And Urban Meyer preaches this too. R plus O, what is it? R plus E equals O or something. He's mentioned it at Media Day that they press pause and they evaluate the situation. And no one did this though. No one kind of stopped to think for a second, hey, let's really consider this before we like tarnish this guy's reputation. No, that everyone just went right after Urban and there was no consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. I know this has nothing to do with it, with anything. I know I just got a text from Jake about 2-3 minutes ago. He said give him a few more minutes. He was in the line at Walmart, so we'll get him in. Get into that. Johnny Manziel update.
Yeah, 4 picks in the first half.
4 interceptions in the first half.
Is that our bashing of the SEC?
No, because I want this guy to succeed. I feel like he's trying to do his best to turn his life around, and I want him to succeed.
Yeah, I like Johnny. I'm not even gonna lie to you, Big Cass. A week or two ago, I bought a $20 knockoff Texas A&M Johnny Manziel jersey, and I can't wait to wear it when Texas A&M plays Bama this year. I can't wait to put it on, and it's going to be great. I can't wait to root against Bama when I wear it. But
if I had a buzzer, I'd hit it on you. But let's go ahead and bash the SEC real quick.
Yeah, let's do this.
Not the schools itself. I have to give kudos to Nick Saban, and I obviously hate giving kudos to Nick Saban for him saying, I don't know. One, why in the heck is the media asking Nick Saban? And two, why does he need to be involved? So basically, they asked Nick Saban what his thoughts processed, and basically, he says, let the facts come out and let the facts be facts. I don't know nothing about it.
That's rational. Nick Saban is rational. I mean, I will say that. He's a rational, level-headed guy, unlike probably 95% of the SEC fans and Twitter.
Just basically Twitter everywhere, the SEC fans. And like my uncle said, who lives in Georgia, and he always hearing about it, he has to call me for all this information, which I do give it to him. He says everybody, his neighbor, diehard Georgia fan, said they want Urban Meyer gone because with Urban Meyer gone in the Big Ten, it weakens the conference again, and the Buckeyes are most likely not to be a threat to them.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what it all is.
Oh, absolutely, Big Cass. I mean, even in the Banner Channel and Armchair, every person that's talking bad about Urban Meyer is someone who writes for an SEC school. I haven't heard anyone from like the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or anyone really talk anything. The only people that are talking bad about Urban Meyer are these SEC people who, you know, there's either one, a little salty that he kicked their butt when he was with Florida. Two, they're salty that they kicked their butt when he was with Ohio State and they beat Bama. Or three, they're salty with the fact that, you know, their team just stinks and they're jealous of basically Ohio State. It's just, it's disgusting to see people out here just slandering Urban Meyer just because they don't like him.
Absolutely. I mean, I slander all it. I mean, we slander to Jim Harbaugh, but it's out of fun and love. What Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes are going through right now to Michigan? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. As much as I hate Bama, I would not want to see this go down because I love college football so much that we need schools like Bama. We need schools like Texas, USC, Florida, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State. We need schools that have rivals. And some people are just ignorant sometimes.
I mean,
you know what? That goes with Buckeye fans. There's a lot of ignorant Buckeye fans out there too.
I mean, a lot of people sue the SEC bias shows. It's insane how much it shows with some of the stuff that's going on. You know, people are basically saying that Urban is a I don't even want to say it. I'm not gonna say the word, but it's a not polite word, and they're just like, I'm like, and I ask him like, well, why is that? Why do you think that is? And they'll just be like, because he is. He's had all these bad players. Like, all right, he had Aaron Hernandez on his team, but like, let's remember, Aaron Hernandez did all. I think he might have done one.
New England.
Yeah, he did it up in New England. He murdered those people in New England. That's Bill Belichick, not Urban Meyer. Like,
and by the time that is, he's an adult.
Yeah, but it's just the fact that it's like they're almost going after Urban Meyer for his crimes at Florida, which there wasn't any really. I don't know what they're looking for.
So we got a couple minutes here. What we usually do the segment, what is that team up north up to? And there's nothing bad about these guys other than the chicken thing. We'll break that down next week about the little baked chicken. We'll break that down next week. But
nervous
I have to
bird.
Get, yeah, nervous birds. Desmond Howard, ESPN, another voice of college football, said yesterday, don't be surprised if Urban Meyer has not called his last game.
That's shocking, too. Desmond Howard never picks anything Ohio State.
Unless they're playing Purdue.
Basically, or like an Illinois. And
but,
then
go ahead, and we got to give props to all the Big Ten schools that we've seen.
Absolutely. Penn State, Jay Paterno came out and basically saying that mob mentality in this country is a little out of hand, and I agree. And I appreciate that from the Paternos. I mean, obviously the Paternos do not have the greatest rep now these days. But I appreciate the fact that they're able to kind of learn from their experience and kind of shed light on this and be informative. And I'm also – Big Cass, man, I never thought I'd see the day where Michigan fans and Penn State fans are coming to the aid of Ohio State before people in the SEC.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, and our good buddy AP, my good buddy Aaron Pearson, who's Penn State, he knows how we feel right now. Mm-hmm. We know how we feel right now with his team being under turmoil. This is twice for us Buckeyes in the last decade. So he knows how it's feeling. And then just random fans from Facebook groups saying, "Hey, you know, Urban Meyer's getting the shaft of this deal. There is no way Urban Meyer should be fired over this, all blah, blah, blah. Urban Meyer is great for this conference. Ohio State is great for this conference. Despite them dominating, they're the ones that have put the Big Ten on the map and made Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, and soon to be Michigan better and competitive.
You know what? No, it's really infuriating, too. The fact that basically this whole – so I guess in 2016, Colorado, the University of Colorado football team at Boulder, they had the same situation. It's basically almost exactly the same situation. The coach, you know, one of the coaches did something that related to Title IX. I'm not sure if it was sexual assault or domestic abuse. I'm not sure exactly what it was. And the head coach reported it, but – it's basically the same exact situation, and it didn't blow up. It didn't blow up like this, and I tell everyone, if this happened at any other school besides basically Ohio State, I mean, there's a couple other schools that this happened at, like say Notre Dame or a USC, basically a big-time school. If this happened at like a Rutgers or like University of Colorado, no one said anything. I didn't even know that something happened in 2016 with their head coach. So it's not about the social issue about domestic violence. I really, truly believe that it's about taking down a huge figure. It's big game hunting.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, man. I just it's scary to think that 3 days before camp, we may the fact that. The best coach in the Big Ten, arguably the best coach in the country, could be out of a job for something two people had personal issues with.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's Big Cass, while we're waiting, I guess for Jake. I want to touch on a couple things real quick. I have some good news for us. I guess this is some good football news. So, did you see C.J. Saunders? How he's looking?
He kind of looks like John Cena's little brother, man.
He's huge.
Coach knows what he's doing. CJ, and then Paris Campbell giving him thoughts, props, and basically look for this guy to be in the rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of laugh when someone sent me this. They were like, he looks like a Jack Sugar Ray. And I was like, oh, my God, you're so right.
Yeah, he does. I mean, going back. Yeah, he looks rock solid. Also, did you see the hype video that they posted Monday? It was just like a quick 10-second hype video that says, soon to be back in the shoes hype video thingy. It was some kind of video. It was pretty sweet though. J.K. Dobbins was on there. I said it best on Greg Bellisari Day, which was yesterday. I said it best. I was like, despite of all the turmoil that's going on, there's still football that has to be played.
Absolutely. Here's some good news for us, Big Cass. We're gonna get $5 million for playing TCU.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
how much are we giving Tulane and Oregon State? And yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah, we're giving them a combined $3.2 million. So it's a profit of $1.8 million right there when you add in the TCU. I'm not sure about the exact numbers between both of them. I want to say one is slightly a little more. I want to say the Oregon State's getting $1.8 million. I forgot the exact numbers, but I mean, it's good. We're getting money, so money's good.
Yeah, money's good. I mean, it's a decent paycheck if you if you're basically just coming to Columbus to get your butt kicked.
Absolutely. I would strap on the pads for free. So they're getting if your universities are getting money for this, and good for them.
I just got. Breaking great news.
What?
Sam Hubbard breaks the record for the most customized jerseys made at Cincinnati Bengals Pro Shop.
Wow. Oh, they had to. You had to customize that?
Right now, you have to customize Sam Hubbard jerseys. Bengals Pro Shops, because they're not on sale yet. So, congratulations. I mean,
yeah. I mean, good for Hubbard. Good for the Buckeyes. And
also, not Ohio State news, but Kane became the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, and he came out with his entrance music from WWE.
That's hilarious. I don't know, Big Cass, did you ever used to watch ECW?
Sort of. But I just got an update from Jake, and I'm going to go ahead and give him a call. Bear with us, everybody.
Just make sure you merge the calls, and we'll be good.
Yeah, I'm doing that now.
Do I start singing the Jeopardy song? The do 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 do. As you can see, I'm trying out for America's Got Talent, everybody. Make sure to rate, subscribe, and send this in to Howie Mandel and Simon Cowell. I think I might have a talent for singing the Jeopardy music as we're waiting for Big Cass. I'll touch on a couple things while we're waiting.
All right.
Oh, we're ready?
Yep, he's on mute right now. He'll come in. He said give us about 30 seconds.
Sounds good. I'm going to quickly just touch on these points before we have Jake on. Josh Perry retired. He had a couple concussions. And, that's really it. Josh Perry retired. He had a bunch of concussions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as we wait.
All right. Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Welcome to the Bunch of Nuts podcast with Big Cass and Dan Smith. Right now, we've got EBXN program director, my good buddy, my mentor, Jake Sofranco. How's your night going, man?
Going good, guys. Really, really busy and hectic the last since Wednesday afternoon. You know, just trying to go through this stuff and make sure we got the best content we can put out there too. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking your time on this Friday night, Jake. Let's kind of talk about. I want to start with this investigation team that was put together by Ohio State. What do you know about it?
Well, I mean, ultimately, the best thing would have been to have an independent investigation, I think. There are some board members on the team right now. So nationally, that's going to probably, if you wanted to, going to come off like, yeah, Ohio State's looking into it. But they're looking into it with the hopes that nothing comes of light of it. So with an independent investigation, you don't have that hanging over you. But at this point, I don't think Ohio State owes that to anyone. They've handled these situations in the past. Obviously each situation's different in its own right. But I think they have dealt with some of these situations in the past fairly and quickly. I mean, you let go one of the greatest coaches in your history, Jim Tressel. And that was also an internal investigation. It is what it is. I think that although there are trustee members on the board, I think ultimately it's going to be looked at kind of independently. These guys went to places like Wake Forest. They don't exactly have Ohio State ties here with them either.
The only one that really, truly, I think has Columbus ties at the moment is Alex Fisher. And it's kind of interesting what's going on in a separate kind of world. He is currently involved with potentially saving the Columbus crew from moving to Austin, and now he's also involved.
Hashtag save the crew.
Yeah, hashtag save the crew, exactly. And now he's involved with kind of dealing with this Urban Meyer situation. Do you think that's almost too much on someone's plate?
You know, I mean, who am I to say exactly what someone can handle and who he's got, you know, delegating some of the tasks to and that sort of stuff. I guess you're, if you're in that position of authority and respect and power, that you've gone to that point because you're able to handle multiple things at once. So, no, I'm not too worried about that at all. Like I said, I think the investigation, it's going to turn up what it's going to turn up. And I don't think it's going to play into whether or not they take Urban Meyer off of paid administrative leave at this point anyway.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that situation. Now, what was your thoughts with both Urban's statement today and Zach Smith's statement as he was being interviewed when Urban's statement released, and then ESPN obviously handed him his statement? So what was your take on both statements?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that said before, Josh, and it's not completely true because that interview with Zach Smith was recorded at 3 o'clock. So there was enough time for the two of them to talk betweenhand, but the optics were definitely well-timed for sure that the statement would come out at that point. And, you know, I mean, there wasn't all that much that was surprising. If Zach Smith was ever going to come out, he wasn't going to come out to not defend Urban Meyer and to not protest what his character has been pretty much decimated to at this point. And like I said, to me, and I always err on the side of the victim unless I see the proof of the converse. And you don't even have to go that far at this point. There was plenty of mental abuse and physical abuse, whether that was going two ways or not. You know, there's always two sides of the story. But bottom line, laying your hands on a woman, if you have a sister or a mom, you only have to think of that before you can be disgusted. You don't really need to see the bruises in the blood and the toxic relationship excuse. I don't buy for a second, because it's on the guy to remove himself from that situation at that point. So I think ultimately, to be honest with you guys, I think it was more of a distraction to take the focus off of Urban Meyer at this point. You know, the story has now turned back to discrediting Zach Smith again. And really, he didn't really say anything about Urban Meyer other than the fact that he told Urban and that Gene Smith was told and Urban told Gene Smith. So if that's the case, Urban reported it as high up as he needed to, in my mind. And he's not an investigator. He's not the police. And if his higher ups are telling him after he reports it that it's not the story that's being reported, at that point, what else do you do? I mean, the guy made the call to fire him. And like I said, it's a tough situation, and this is a very fluid situation. Yesterday, I felt like there was no way he was going to keep his job. Today, I'm pretty convinced that he is going to get through this, and he may even get through without even a suspension.
Now,
yeah. You answered my next question, Jake. And you know, me and you had a good extensive talk. What was it, Wednesday night, about this? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the conversation we both had was, when facts are out, the facts are out, and when everything comes out, we'll know. So,
right.
With Urban's statement, do you think basically what Reese Davis said, lying to the media is not a fireable offense?
Yeah, and you know what? ESPN, shame on them too for times. They put Paul Feinbaum on there, that little...
oh, yeah, that was ridiculous.
Troll. I mean, he's like human clickbait at this point. It's getting on there saying, if he lied to the media, he should be fired. All this sacrimonious bullcrap coming from a guy that covers the most corrupt conference in the entire country.
Thank you.
And if you fired every SEC coach for lying to the media, you'd have no SEC coaches.
I want to get into that, Jake. When Ohio State makes its decision essentially on Urban Meyer's future, do you think they're going to completely block out the noise from all these pundits from different conferences that really don't know all the facts, it seems like?
Yeah, there's no doubt. This is an internal decision, and they're going to do the best thing for Ohio State and try to make a decision that ultimately is one that they can sell as making an educated decision. If you fire Urban Meyer, you got to tell me why. And if you keep Urban Meyer, you got to tell me why. So right now they did the right thing. They put him on paid administrative leave. That's usually a death sentence for a coach. But in this case, I think they did the right thing just to control the story, stop it from getting spun out. They never put Ryan Day up on in front of the media. And if I were Urban Meyer and his lawyers right now, I'd be on the phone with the university and Gene Smith saying, you know, you're either going to reinstate me or you're going to fire me at this point. You've got the facts that you've got. I need to get on with my football camp and my football team. I've said what I'm going to say. What are you going to do? And put the pressure back on Ohio State.
Right. And real quick, and I hate to bring Shelly into this. If absolutely Shelly knew, and she's also an employee with the university, how was it she not put on administrative leave?
Well, I mean, I guess that's a good question. I don't know if her classes are in session. Now, she's an instructor with the nursing program. She's not hired by the football program, although she obviously is a huge influence there and a big part of what they do. Shelly and Urban are locked at the hip. So, you know, I mean, it's the plausible deniability, guys. You know, I mean, do I think personally that Urban Meyer knew more than what's going on here? Absolutely. I think for him to have not known would have been just, I can't even fathom it. But I think that there's still that scenario where Shelly could come out and say, hey, you know, I was protecting Urban and the program. He's had these health issues. I didn't feel like I needed to add any more stress to him. I thought I could handle it with a very good friend who I felt like was family. And I'm telling you, it's an awful look. You know, I mean, it's not good. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you make a big mistake, and the best thing to do isn't to keep covering up and lie about it. Get out in front of it, own it, apologize for it. And America's a pretty forgiving country when you end up doing that. It's always the cover-up and the scandal. It's not the act, guys.
And then how do you think recently I've seen that fans – at first the fans were kind of angry, but as more information has surfaced, I think they've been kind of rallying around Urban. And I've seen some are threatening to even boycott the season. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Jake?
I mean, fans are fans. Fan is short for fanatic. They don't have – if you're that invested where you're a fanatic, that you don't have reason anymore. You know, you're going to either take a defensive posture, or if you're on the flip side of that and you're going to crucify – Urban Meyer and the Ohio State program, then I don't think that you're looking at all the facts that have been out there, and you're equally not looking at it through someone that's able to reason through this. Like I said, there's ultimately a lot going on here, and to be able to make a clear cut and dry, this is how I feel, without knowing all the facts, not being close enough to the situation to say stuff like that, I think it's just someone that is reacting on emotion more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's play two ways here. Urban's gone. What's the expectations of this team for 2018? Urban stays. What is the expectations for 2018?
Urban's gone. My expectation for this team would still be to contend for a national title. The talent is there. The hardest thing about this is that you lose the four-time captain at quarterback, and you've got to break a new guy in. The other issue that we're going to have to find out quickly would be if Ryan Day, I don't care about his X's and O's, is he a leader of men? And can he get these guys through that? But the talent is there, and the coaching staff is there. It's not like you're firing Larry Johnson. It's not like you're firing Kevin
Wilson.
Thank you, Kevin. Yep. Wilson. So to me, the expectations are there. And if Urban's back, I actually think there'll be probably a little bit more distraction initially, but either way, I can see the team rallying around this as us against the world and a chip on their shoulder. And if we know Urban Meyer, he knows how to play chips on shoulders. And when his teams feel that way and don't feel like they're owed something and that all the pundits are building them up, this team plays with a different edge, and it's still got all that speed and all that talent. So I have high expectations either way, as far as that's concerned.
Absolutely. I've been doing a countdown since Orlando Pace on my Twitter and Facebook.
I've noticed that. You found a player for each day so far. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's dedicated.
Yes, very dedicated, yes. Some of those images on Google search are tough to come by.
Yes, especially with Greg Bellisari. But I've always ended it at the last hashtag lately has been Quest for 9, but I've always, the first one I've used is hashtag someone has to pay, and that right now with everything going on with this football team, that is the main hashtag, I think, for this football team.
Well, you know, I appreciate what you're trying to say for it as well. With the delicate situation and having someone have to pay, I don't know if I would categorize it quite that way. But what I would say is that this team now feels like it's an us against the world type mentality. It really is Ohio versus the world. If you're a fanatic of this team and if you're close to this team as a player or administrator or coach or whatever it might be.
I believe this year it's a win the moment. I forgot whose Instagram store I was watching. I think it was Johnny Dixon's Michael yesterday. And they had wristbands saying win the moment. So I believe it's officially win the moment this season.
Right, well, I can roll with that. Hey, guys, I'm sorry I had to cut it short, but I have to run.
Absolutely.
You're going to get in. We're recording this, right?
Yep.
Okay, so was there anything else you wanted to get in real quick?
No, that's it. Thank you so much, Jake.
I had a great time, guys. Real quick, I just wanted to shout out With Ohio Bias. That's the podcast and blog that I started a long time ago with my partner, Demetrius. So check out withanohiobias.com. Follow us at withanohiobias on social media. Of course, you can check out scoreonair.com for the new generation of sports talk. Radio, all the students over there at the Ohio Media School do a great job. I mean, Josh Gassinger was absolutely one of them. And again, EBSN Online. Check us out tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. live on Facebook Live at EBSN Online. I don't know if you guys will have this out there by then or not, but we'll be talking about this stuff with Doug Worthington, Marty Bannister, Greg Fry, and keep adapting as the story continues to roll itself out. But I really, again, appreciate the time and you guys having me on. And thanks again.
Thank you so much, Jake.
All right, take care. Talk to you soon. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks.
That was Jake Sofranco, EBSN, smart man. He's shown me a lot in this industry. He's done a great job. Check that out. It's a great show tomorrow on EBSN. Marty Bannister, Greg Fry, and Doug Worthington. So it'd be kind of interesting to see a former sideline reporter and Marty Bannister and two former Ohio State football players. And one played with Jim Tressel right before the scandal. So it'd be quite interesting to see what they have to say.
Absolutely, Big Cass. And as we kind of wrap up here, speaking of, I guess, of Jim Tressel, you know, his whole scandal. Let's I guess, touch on the whole Jim Tressel scandal. Obviously, you know, the whole tattoos between all the players, and then Jim Tressel lied to the NCAA, which is ultimately the reason why he got fired.
Resigned.
Basically, yeah.
Basically, what it is that's the thing. I don't think Ohio State's going to want to fire Urban Meyer because they would have to pay him almost $40 million. And that's why I think Gene Smith kind of forcefully said and did the same thing with Mata. They were going to fire Thad Mata. They were going to fire Jim Tressel. But the problem is they forced him to resign so they can give him a severance pay but not have to pay him as much as they owed them.
Makes a lot of sense. Now, let's speak a little bit about Gene Smith. Let's say that, you know, because it's not looking too good for Gene Smith at this point, because this is going to be his second scandal.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this story today kind of shifted towards the blame from Urban Meyer to Gene Smith. Let's say that, you know, Gene Smith somehow gets let go or, you know, has to resign or gets fired. What do we do for an athletic director?
there's some, obviously there's some quality guys out there, and it goes down to this too, in this scandal, for instance, what if Gene Smith told the higher-ups of the university? So that means Gene Smith is kind of cleared of the job, and then President Drake. Well, how, go back to President Drake. He's got now got possibly three scandals going on, one with the football team, one with the wrestling team, and then you have the band where he fired John Waters.
Wow.
So could this all be on Gene Smith, President Drake, Urban Meyer? It's hard to tell. But if it is ultimately Gene Smith's fault, where I think Kress was the possible scapegoat, if this is Gene Smith's fault, either A, he's got to resign, and there's a lot of questionability about his credibility, or two, President Drake's got to break down and fire him. But and I know a lot of people, you know, in the way this country was raised, and, you know, domestic violence, you know, child abuse, who knows? Do you put Gene Smith on paid administrative leave after Urban's in the clear? Just do a more investigation. I highly doubt that. I think that by the end of this investigation, I believe that, I honestly think even Gene Smith did everything he could, because he went right to the source. He went to Zach Smith, apparently. So I think in that instance, I'm not trying to stick up for Gene Smith, but in that instance, I think that if it did get to Gene Smith, Gene Smith went to Zach Smith, and the Powell police is the ones that called Gene Smith. That's another weird thing, according to Zach Smith. So either Gene heard it from Urban Meyer. I believe it. He heard it from Urban Meyer and the police. Went to Zach Smith. So basically, the credibility is, and the way the rules are, and if you, I call it, like I said the other day, I call it the Nick Saban rule. If a player, a coach, slash, has not been convicted of a crime, they're ultimately going to be on the not fired or suspended. Okay, now I take that. Now I go into this consideration. If all that happens, was Gene Smith, because it happened until 2015, and God rest his soul, Earl Bruce, do you believe that Urban and Gene Smith were basically almost forced a hand upon to keep Zach Smith on the coaching staff because of Earl Bruce?
I'm not really sure. That's a really good question that, of course, conveniently now at this point, only Earl Bruce would know. So it's not a good situation. It's
no. And I agree with Jake. Yesterday, at this time, I thought Urban was honestly, my gut was saying Urban was a goner, and my heart was saying Urban was staying. But now, after all this, my gut is leaning more towards, I'm 65-35 chance that I think Urban Meyer will still be back on the sidelines. And more as this time passes, I believe Urban Meyer will be on the sidelines in 2018.
I'm about to check the 11 Warriors poll. They posted one on his web on the website. Does Urban Meyer survive this? And yes, it's 70%. They said yes, 70%, no, 30%. Obviously, you gotta take that with a grain of salt, given the demographic that's voting. But I also will point this. I ran a poll, BigCast, this yesterday into today. Who is the most hated man of Columbus right now? And it was Zach Smith and Anthony Precourt, the Columbus Crew owner. And it, Big Cass, it was a dead tie, 50-50, and there were over 125 votes. So I found that very interesting, just the fact that, you know, this one guy is moving the first – I know you're not a big soccer guy. I am, Big Cass, but this guy's moving the first – this guy's literally moving a team, moving one of Columbus's two pro sports teams, the first soccer team MLS. He's moving them away, and he was just as hated as Zach Smith at 50%, a man who allegedly, you know, domestic violence and all that, and his taking down Ohio State. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I obviously voted for Zach Smith. Now, I believe what Anthony Precourt is doing is wrong. I know I'm not a big soccer guy, like you said. But I don't – I honestly – if the Crew leaves, I mean, I'm not going to be heartbroken. But I don't want to see Crew fans heartbroken because I look at it this way. What if the Bengals leave or the Reds leave or – Cavaliers leave or the Browns leave. I mean, I'm not a Browns fan, but I'd be heartbroken.
100%.
I don't want to feel, or even if the Blue Jackets leave, I don't want to feel about a team that I love, and I know there's a lot of good soccer Crew fans out there, that about a team that I love leaving the city, get some ignorant owner. But I obviously said Zach Smith because I think there's more Buckeye fans than Crew fans out there.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised because I hashtagged Ohio State. I did hashtag Save the Crew, but considering that I mainly focus on Ohio State and I cover Ohio State, I was shocked that it was 50-50.
Yeah, it is shocking. So, on a brighter note, let's go ahead and do this. I put a question out there. Let's just go ahead and do this, man. To end the show on a bright note.
Let's do it.
I asked Buckeye fans to name possibly three players that they loved in football, basketball, or any other sport. And I got four answers.
Read them all off.
Devaniel, I believe, he said Braxton Miller and Evan Turner.
That's a good pick. I mean, Braxton Miller, when I was coming to Ohio State as a freshman, Braxton Miller was the first jersey I ever bought. I mean, I had a counterfeit, you know, whatever website it was, AliExpress or
I just ordered my Nick Bosa jersey that I have.
Exactly, yeah, the AliExpress, DHK, whatever that weird those Chinese websites that you get the jersey.
I have a Barrett and a Zeke.
Ooh, I have a Miller, Braxton Miller, Darren Lee, and it was just a number one Ohio State. I guess it is Miller. Now it's Johnny Dixon. But, that's a good choice. I love the Braxton Miller choice.
And I'm trying to bring up the other, Corey Boyd. I believe he said the same.
He said Evan Turner, I believe.
Evan Turner, and who was his football?
I want to say Zeke.
Ezekiel Elliott.
It was, yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott. And then my father, he said Jay Burson for basketball, and I believe he said. Who did he say? Did I text you that?
You did, but I can't pull it up because I'm on my phone.
Hold on, I think I got it.
He had some really good picks, though. There were two guys that were
Chris Spielman.
Oh, of course, legend.
And then my future wife Megan said Aaron Kraft, Zeke Elliott, and Stephanie Mavunga.
that's a good one. Big Cats, who are good. Who are your two favorite?
My favorite. Okay. Oh, man. I've been a Buckeye fan for a long time. AJ Hawk was my man for football. Aaron Kraft was my man for basketball. Even though I loved John Diebler and Evan Turner and Sullinger, but Aaron Kraft. And then basketball, Kelsey Mitchell for women's. For Kelsey Mitchell. And then for softball, just because I really like Lily Piper, her game. She's a really good shortstop for the Buckeyes. Those are my four.
For football, I'm gonna go with. Oh, it's so tough. I'm torn between two. It's Devin Smith and Darren Lee. Those are both my two favorite. Those two dudes. I really don't know. It's so hard for me to choose.
Yeah, I had a toss up between AJ Hawk and JT Barrett. So I'll give you my two, or AJ Hawk and JT Barrett.
And then my one for basketball, without a doubt, has to be Jayshon Tate. I used to have season tickets to Ohio State, and Jayshon Tate was there. Basically, I saw him play his sophomore and junior year, and I just love watching Jayshon Tate. I'm not gonna lie, I shed a manly tear when they lost against Gonzaga. I was sad. I'm never gonna see him play again. But
I ain't gonna lie, I went to his senior night this year, and I had some tears rolling down my eyes. So
he just so much heart and soul. He's gonna be.
He's not my favorite player, but he's one of my favorite Buckeyes.
He's a true Buckeye. That's what I'm getting at. Like. I think he really captures the essence of a Buckeye. But, all right, Big Cass, it's late. It's almost 11 o'clock on a Friday night. I think we got to finish this up. So, once again, thank you all for listening to A Bunch of Nuts. You know, rate, subscribe, roast us, do whatever. Just give us the 5 stars. If we're not getting the 5 stars, then let us know what we need to do. We're here to please. Big Cass, thank you so much for joining us. Jake, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Anything else you'd like to add, Big Cass?
Yes, tomorrow is Chris Beanie Wells Day. Win the moment, quest for 9, and somebody has to pay, and that's Oregon State in 28 days.
Boom! This has been A Bunch of Nuts, presented by Armchair All-Americans. Take a seat with us.